The words of a talebearer, the gossip, are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Verse 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Verse 23, the poor useth entreaties, knows how to speak properly, appropriately, but the rich answereth roughly. This morning we're going to talk about words to live by. This is so simple, but it cannot be what I talk about in Sunday school. It actually has to be what a family, D-O-E-S. So if your children come to my office and ask for candy and they say, can I have a piece of candy? Ron, what is my response to that? Do you know? What? Amy, what's my response? No, actually, if they don't say another word, I don't even say that now. This is what I say every time. I don't understand your English. Yes, I don't understand your English. So if they, yes, I do get to the may and the can, because if I don't do that, my wife will get mad at me. By the way, you say, this is silly. By the way, folks, you just read about seven verses that talk about the words you use. And here's the problem. In families, we're too busy with television and our toys that we don't require this of children. And how I know we don't require it of children is they come to my office and they don't do it. Now, once they come to my office in a while and they want some chocolate, they do it. Because they know they're going to have to say may and they're going to have to say please. And they're going to have to do it every time, and they're going to also have to say even the little bitty ones. By the way, that's how you train children. You don't train children by sitting in your chair watching television. You train your children by simple things. By the way, actually, the way you train children with this is what you do. We're going to talk about words to live by this morning. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing now on this time. Help us to actually implement the words to live by, which seem to be simple, basic, honorable. We see it in so many of our young people. Some we don't. Then they have problems in life because they just can't socialize properly. They don't do well in society. Help us to hear now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Words to live by. When I talk about words to live by, of course, I'm not just strictly speaking of the words themselves, but the concepts behind the words, because the words can change. Let's see here. I need to borrow somebody. Noel, you look like somebody I need to borrow. Can you come up here, brother? I'm not going to use you during the church service, so that's good. Well, I might have to use you if Louis Heras is not here, because I need a bad guy this morning. The fall of 1975, I'm here at Hospital Corps School. I think I've told this story once before, years ago. We've got done with our classes, and we're going to chow. And if you haven't been in the Navy, you don't know what chow is. Well, just think of what dogs eat. That's about what it tasted like. We're going to go eat some chow food. Three or four of us get out of class. We're walking together, and we're in a big open space in the hospital corps side. I don't know what it was called. But inside, in the Navy, you're not allowed to wear your hat. Or Navy speak, your cover. One of the guys had his cover on. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is that a big deal? Not really. In this sense, Jim, is it a big deal to take your cover off? No. I mean, three or four of us walking, we're just talking. Step over here, buddy. And the guy that was with me, I have no idea what his name is. I can still see his face. A young guy that was doing guard duty. Now, you know, guard duty, they're nobodies. You see, how do you know that? Because I did guard duty. I was a nobody. He walks right up to the guy and says, I don't know how he said it. Probably didn't do it in a Christian way. Probably told him to take his cover off. Probably didn't even ask, please. And my friend, this is not a joke, my friend did this to the guy. From one end to the other, he yelled at this guy. This guy was an E1. My friend he was way up here, Jim. He was an E3. He was climbing the ladder, buddy. All the way across this open area, he did that. He bumped the guy and chewed him out. I don't know what he was thinking. I kept telling him, come on. He wouldn't listen. Well, here's your problem. Thank you. That little E1 didn't forget that. The next week, my buddy, I'm going to use his term, got to see the old man. Do you know what that means? Got to see the captain. You say, why? Because he was too much of an idiot to say, all right, take your hat off. He pushed this guy around. He got to see the captain. Only time I ever been to Captain Smash, Jim, I never wanted to go back after that. Because I didn't have any part of this, but I didn't want to be there. I'm there, and it's like, oh, boy. And by the way, because this guy couldn't be polite, and it wasn't even polite, it was wrong to have your cover on. Now, is it a cardinal sin? Probably not, but it is a Navy regulation. Now, unfortunately, Jim, in the hospital side, you know, we don't follow any of that stuff. You know that. That was part of the problem, too. Oh, by the way, the guy lost all of his stripes. Did you hear me? He lost all of his stripes because he couldn't control his mouth, couldn't control his ego. Somebody at home never taught him how to use his words. Now, Pastor Cork, do we ever have this in the school? And anytime you have a young person mouthing off to a teacher, that comes 100% directly from one place, H-O-M-E. Because otherwise, people learn how to talk, how not to talk. We're going to talk about magic. We're going to talk about a bunch of words today. The first one is the magic word. We're going to talk about some very basic things that I think is kind of important to grasp. I'll give you the magic word in a moment. Let's read Proverbs 16:32. And by the way, this is just a Bible study related to rearing children. So we're going to talk about words that children need to know. Pastor Kwok, read the verses for me, please. The two. I consider this the most important word of all, especially initially. You say, what is the magic word? The magic word in this case is this word here. Children need to learn the word no. Now, I have it in your notes, and this is the problem, of course. But I'll just give you this. I consider it the most important word of all, especially initially. First, to yourself, meaning to the parent. By the way, if you want to say no to your children, here's where it begins. You can say no to yourself. So the next time you want to do a crash course in 12 hours of TV, don't say no to your children because your children already know something. You can't say no to you. The next time you want to eat the 2-pound bag of M&Ms, by the way, I talk to my 11th and 12th graders about this concept. Most of them, the concept of saying no to yourself is kind of foreign to them. They're not really used to being around people that where they know mom and dad can say, you know what, it's time to get up. I'm not sleeping in one extra second. It's time to exercise. I'm exercising. It's time to say no to yourself and then to the child and then the child to himself or herself. The ultimate goal of saying no, if I may say this to all of you, the ultimate goal of saying no to a child is not so you can get the child out of your hair. The ultimate goal of saying no to a child is so the child can grow up and say no to him or herself. Is that correct? I would preach on self-control, but I'm going to let him preach on self-control so you can sleep on him. Because American saying no to yourself is not. I would be curious to know in this room, if you have sufficient money, when's the last time you said no to yourself? Meaning you want something, you don't need it. By the way, after you have the third Kindle-like device, you probably don't need a fourth one. Just because they came out with a bigger screen. And a bigger screen. I called Bambi from Friday. I went over to, what was the place? Sam's Club. I walked into Sam's Club and I called Bambi and me and I said, I know what I want for my birthday. 80-inch TV. The only problem, I said, Bambi, I don't think we have an 80-inch wall. 80-inch TV. By the way, if you have the money, do you ever say no to something you want? What's your answer? The answer is no. You never say no to yourself. Children don't either. They don't even get the concept. Say no. So the goal of this is not Junior's irritating me, so no. The goal is that child grows up and learns there's time to say no to yourself. Somebody wants to do wrong, and you can say to yourself, no. So the goal is for you to transfer the no here to the child while they're growing up, so when the child grows up, the child can say no to him or herself. How does that sound? We call that, by the way, this is a dirty word. I'm going to have Pastor Kowak preach on it. It's a dirty word. The King James translates it different ways, temperance. From this funny little word, enkrateo, which is this. This is the word for in, and this is the word to seize, or to hold, or to grab. So instead of me grabbing Tim, look at me, or mothers, you know when the children are driving you crazy? Self-control is not about getting them to quiet down. You're in control of yourself. You're able then to control them and to transfer self-control. They can control their budgets. They can control their appetites. They can control what they do. They can control who their friends are. They have the ability to be And enkrateo simply means this. Not that I have the ability to beat him up. I have the ability to seize myself. Can you do that? Can you ever say no to you? That's the question. All of the verses in your notes deal with that. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, which is that word enkrateo. It's the noun form. Galatians 5 talks about the works of the flesh. By the way, let's read it just for purposes here. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Both of those are giving in to passion, self. Not being able to say no to you. Idolatry, in the next verse, witchcraft, hatred, variance. By the way, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do or practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They're unsaved people. But the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, this is what you ought to see in a person's life, is love. How about this one, joy? What should characterize any Christian's life is joy. They enjoy life, they enjoy God, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, enkrateia, the ability to control oneself, to say no to self. 2 Peter says as much, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, the ability to seize control of yourself and say no. 1 Corinthians 9:25, King James translates it in a strange way. Every man that striveth to win the race, so to speak, is temperate in all things. He knows how, or she knows how, to control himself in all things. I want to ask you a question. What does this mean? This means, please look here, you have work to do. That can be 100 kinds of work. How about this? Should you exercise as an American? Yes or no? How often? Once a year? You should have an exercise regime. But there's television, there's computer, there's Facebook, there's 4,000 things that some of the adults don't know what they are. I told a kid about Vine recently, and they said, "How do you know about Vine?" I was born under a rock yesterday. By the way, just ways of wasting your life. So here's the question. Can you exercise as opposed to entertain? Look at me. Can you say no to yourself? Well, here it is. I have a child. My goal is not to tell the child, no. My goal is for that child to grow up, and when that child gets to be an adult, when it comes to buying a car they can't afford, they never do it because they know how to say, "I can't afford that." When it comes to, how about this one? When it comes to, now I grew up this way. Maybe you didn't. My mother, I tithe every nickel I've ever earned. You say, why? Mom made me. So when I grew up and was 18 years old, guess what I did with my Navy money? 10% went to the local church. You say, why? That was what the Bible teaches. But I could take that 10% and buy some nice stuff with it, couldn't I? Or, believe it or not, my wife and I support missions. I could take that missions money and buy some stuff with it, couldn't I? We even put money in here for Get Out of the Gym Fund, just stupid as it can be. We put money in that. We could take all of that money and put it other places, but when you grow up, I want my children to grow up and be able to say, boy, I sure want this, but I can't afford it. No, no, no. That's what we're talking about. That's the magic word. Just that simple. One night, you don't know this person, so I'm just going to read this. This man went out and spent $600 for a brand new bow. I don't know if that's a lot of money for a bow or not. I don't have a bow, don't want a bow, don't want to spend money on a bow. By the way, what bow are you buying? What's your toys? He did target practice 7 nights a week for about a month or two. And then he went from bow shooting to ping pong. He got beat in a ping pong game. And then he started practicing ping pong for 2 or 3 hours a day for about 3 months. And then he quit that. And then he went to music, playing a guitar. And then he went to alcohol. And then he went to smoking. And then he had eating, binge eating problems. And he had porn problems. And the whole time, he had a mother that was out of control, didn't have a dad. He never learned self-control, never learned that you should say no to yourself. And never learned it himself, and as an adult, he is a wreck. By the way, divorced too, of course. Can't say no to himself. Everything's about him. We'll move on. By the way, is this a hard word? The answer is really not. It actually is kind of pleasant when you realize when the alarm clock goes off, you know how to say no to, I'm tired. Shut that stuff up. I don't want to get up. Let's use biblical language. There's a lion in the streets. Really? Number two, I call this the meritorious mention word. And in reality, this is not a word. I'm just going to write this here. This is not a word as much as a concept. The meritorious mention word or concept. And frankly, if you can teach your children the first word, they'll get the second word. Christy, your son, the big B, tested for a blue belt yesterday, right? Look at me, folks. One of the reasons learning piano, please look at me, piano, martial arts is important, is not the martial arts. The martial arts is the least important thing you'll learn there. It's this. You do something, you work to accomplish something, then you work, and it takes how much? It takes a lot of what? Time. So when the big B is 18 years old, he's already used to working to accomplish. So going to college is kind of like no big deal because I've been doing this kind of stuff my whole life. I've learned to wait. By the way, I called somebody on this specific point, so you know. I called Dr. Scary Carey and read this to her, what you're going to read with me. In your notes, this is called delayed gratification. Delayed gratification, which means Junior doesn't need everything right now. They need to learn to work for what they have because all of life is about delayed gratification. You just don't get everything. You don't get a car just because you're handsome. You don't get a house because you smile. Everything in life takes that work till you accomplish and then work until you achieve. Delayed gratification. I specifically read this to Scary Carey. Read with me. Almost all of life and success can be connected to this concept. This is the ability to do or focus on the right, the good, the important, the difficult, the tedious, the monotonous, and even the impossible over time. I'll write it over here, over time. I got to ask you a question. Mrs. Hall's not here this morning. I go into Mrs. Hall's class. You know who good math students are? Smart? Yes, to a certain level, you have to have brains. What makes a good math student, Christy? Doing your homework every night. It's that ability to stay on task, to keep after it. By the way, why do you tell a kid no? Most of us tell a child no because we don't want the child to get in our hair or to embarrass us. That's not child rearing. Why did you have children for? Child rearing is you teach a child to say no so they develop self-control, just like you have self-control over your emotions, your mind, your appetites, your passions, and then you teach them to learn to wait. It's called delayed gratification. May I say this to all of you? My wife teaches piano. Yes, I believe your children need to learn piano. I could care less if they ever get good. The lessons, look at me, and the practice is more important than the result. Learning to work is more important than whether you're ever a concert pianist. What do you think about that? Because what is life? Is there anything you're going to do and do it that matters that you can just walk up and say, here I am? I try to tell kids all the time, nobody is looking for you. When some kids think, man, look at me, I'm so wonderful. I've had kids tell me this. It's like, no, you're not. But if you go to a place and you have a degree in engineering, they know something about you. They know that you can work, yes, over time. They know you have some ability. They know three or four big things. They know you're smart enough. Number two, they know you can work over time. Number three, they know you can get along with people well enough to get through school. You say, well, my kid can't get a job. Really? How'd they do in school? How'd they do in college? That's it. All right, in your notes. By the way, look at me, folks. This is what I'm teaching your children. I don't know what you're expecting. If your children come to this school, they're going to learn this from my wife, from Mrs. Hall, from Pastor Kwok, from every one of our teachers. They're going to learn to wait. Delayed gratification. That's the nature of life. So let's read all of this again if we could. This is called delayed gratification. Almost all of life and success can be connected to this concept. This is the ability to do or focus on the right, the good, the important, the difficult, the tedious, the monotonous, and even the impossible over time. Next, without bouncing. Next, without distraction. Next, without quitting. I don't know how to say the last one. Without not even starting, but that's not right because that's two knots in a row. Most people don't even start. Look at me. Do you realize that most children that grow up in America, brother boy, we see this here, children are so babied by their parents because their parents' primary goal is for the child to be happy. If Junior is just happy, everything is good. So we got Junior all happy. So when the child comes to something difficult, they quit before they start because they know I'm not willing to do that kind of work. Now, here's the difference. I don't know when it happens. I don't know when the transfer happens. You tell me something I can't do. I'm talking about a project. Some of us just go to sleep. I can't do that. You've got this. It's not a word. It's a concept, the word wait. Number three, the missing words. Most of you will probably figure out that the missing words is more than one word. Yes? I'm going to talk about Mrs. Miller in a moment, but let's read these verses together. Pastor Kwok, why don't you read for us, please?
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor for which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, hair to her mistress.
The missing words. Here's where I already know that I'm going to offend. I do not want to offend anybody this morning. I actually would like you to come to the place where you require these of your children. But look me, you have to require them of yourself first. And there's some beautiful things that happen when you start using these kinds of concepts. Now hear me, I'm not interested in words. I'm interested in concepts. Your words could be different in some cases. So when I say yes, ma'am, in a few minutes, you might not like the word ma'am. So if you have a child, ladies, you might not want your child to say, yes, ma'am. Yes, mom works too. Don't get caught up in the language and go back to sleep. There's a reason these words are so important, and you know these words. On the front page, if you turn back, in fifth grade, I had a teacher named Mr. Carmody. Mr. Carmody, now you got to remember, I went to school in the Dark Ages. Mr. Carmody was one of those heavy smokers, came out of World War II, all those guys smoked four packs a day. Mr. Carmody, my fifth grade teacher, was a good teacher, but he was a smoker. So somewhere around Christmas time, Mr. Carmody had cancer in one of his lungs, and he had to go in for surgery to have a lung removed. Now, you don't come home and go back to teaching in a weekend after having a lung removed. So Mr. Carmody, you know, went off, and they couldn't get the normal substitute. Normally, I like substitutes because substitutes, I could run them every which way but wild. Folks, I had teachers crying. You know, I was never a good student. That's the reason I understand you. You don't fool me. I get people. They brought in, oh, this was bad, an old one-room schoolhouse teacher. Now, in this room, most of you don't, Mr. Losey would be the only one that probably ever had a one-room schoolhouse teacher. Your mom did. You had to be, you're aging yourself, sister, because 56, 57 in Illinois, those were all gone. Was it before 57? You're not that old. You're talking of Frenchie. Don't be talking about Frenchie. 56, 57 one-room schoolhouses went out in Illinois. Mr. Losey would have been in them probably, but one-room schoolhouse teachers, they could teach an army. I don't. And by the way, if you survive, Charlena, you think about it, you taught from, they didn't have kindergarten, first grade to eighth grade. Those women, you didn't mess with them. Guess who they brought in? Mrs. Miller. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't get anything past her. She was a better teacher than Mr. Carmody, but she was in her 70s. I don't remember what I learned in fifth grade, but I remember one thing she used to say over and over and over. Young men and young women, manners never go out of date. Manners never go out of date. She made us say all the things that I'm going to share with you. And may I say this, I have found that it works really well. It is nice when somebody hears you say thank you. So this isn't something, look at me, you teach your children. This is something you do, and then your children get hooked into this. So, what are some of those words? Well, what's the first one there, do you reckon? Is that the first one? Well, it doesn't make a difference which order. Thank you. You're welcome. By the way, no matter what the age, if a child comes into my office for candy, that includes Joy Joy. And Joy Joy's how old? But she's been doing this for longer than three, probably when she was one and a half. She couldn't say thank you exactly, but she said something that sounded like thank you. So when she came in, I require every young person to say, may I please have a piece of chocolate? And I require them when I hand them that piece of chocolate to say, now, Joy Joy wasn't real good at the, you know, I'm not sure it was one word or two words or eight words or half a word, but it sounded like thank you. Now she can do the thank you. Oh, by the way, I'm rearing your children, too. This is something we do. Thank you. Doesn't everybody like to be, don't you like to be told thank you? Pastor Allen has a rule. If you come to his church and speak as a missionary, and he gives you an offering, and their church gives big offerings for missionaries, and that missionary does not write a letter back and say thank you. He writes the mission board and the home church and the missionary saying you'll never receive support from our church. That is the letter of death. Because if you are not a thankful person, are you a Christian? Answer the question. I think not. So when I meet bitter people as opposed to thankful people, I start to wonder, something ain't right here. We're never thankful about anything God does through people. Thank you. Now, I'm not saying if you forget. We forget sometimes. But on the whole, it's pretty good language. Please. I think that's pretty good, don't you think? By the way, you say, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Honor thy father and thy mother. How about that? Honor all men. All of this is just part of what we do. It's implications of text. It's what we do as Christians to honor people. Mind not things of high things, but condescend to men of low estate, in honor, preferring one another. We do these things. You say, do you say thank you and please? Listen, if you go to Culver's and the kid there can barely speak English, they're 18, thank you is nice. Do you listen to most Americans? Chewing, by the way, we're great at putting people down that are less than us. Those are the people you should be honoring according to the Scripture. In honor, preferring one another. By the way, you don't honor anybody unless they don't deserve it. So if you go to somebody, Jim, if you were still in the Navy and I was in the Navy, and I came to you and did all kinds of language to you because you're the captain, you're the old man, well, I'm just trying to get something. It's the person less than me when I honor that person is when I really start honoring people. Please, thank you. Yes? We've got to teach this to our children, grandchildren, whoever they are. We continue. Well, excuse me. That's a good one. Excuse me, please. These two, for me, are pretty important. And I don't care what language you use. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, mom. Yes, dad. And the no is the same. Now, friend, I'm going to say this. I find that Americans don't do this. And here's the deal. I'm going to look here and try to find somebody because your daughters are perfect. They're perfect for me. Here's how this works. Are you all listening? Mom tells Amber, now I know Amber's perfect, so this is not a problem. Amber, we're going to have lunch in 5 minutes, so get ready. And Amber says nothing. You've just lost, Mom. You've just lost. Because you haven't had Amber, I'm using Amber for your children, acknowledge. See, this is what happens. Then you come back in 5 minutes and Amber's still playing. Well, if you'd have got her to acknowledge, yes, mother, or yes, mom, the battle's won quicker. Otherwise, 5 minutes later, she's not ready. 5 minutes after that, she's not ready. 10 minutes after that, mom is screaming or crying. This battle should have been won by, look at me, yes. By the way, when I was in the Navy and an officer or someone higher than me gave me an order, the answer would be, yes, sir, shut your mouth and do it. And they required us to say that. Yes? Here's our problem. We don't require anything of children. So therefore, that lunch that should have been on at noon, it's now 12:45. Mom has cried. She's screamed. She's thrown a fit. Dad's still sleeping in front of television. When all of this could have been solved by Amber, in 5 minutes, we're having a meal. You be ready. And she says, yes, mom, yes, ma'am, whatever term you prefer. Yes, mother. Got it? It's simple. By the way, here's the deal. You got to do it every single until it's what we do. I find parents just argue with their kids. I don't get the arguing stuff. What's that stuff about? You say, you're big. Yes, it does help to be big and loud. It does. My wife reminds me of this. So the yes, ma'am, yes, sir, yes, mom, yes, dad, and the same with the no. No, ma'am, no, sir, no, mom, no, dad, that sort of thing. And I don't even need to tell you about the Mr. and Mrs. I heard a young person here years ago talking to Mr. Smith, Sharon's dad, called him Floyd. My mother would still beat me if I called somebody like that Floyd. You got to be kidding me. You know, here Mr. Smith is. He's a World War II veteran, Korea War veteran, Vietnam veteran, an officer, retired officer, and frankly, just a whole bunch older and more respected than you are, and you call him Floyd. If I ever hear a young person in this church call Mr. Losey Gene, Grandpa Losey's fine, Mr. Losey's fine, By the way, this is just, oh, by the way, how does this help us? Jim, this young guy goes in the Navy. When do guys have problems in the Navy? Because they never learned to say this at home. So they get in the Navy and they're mouthing off to some officer, and the next thing you know, they're visiting the brig. I never visited the brig. I didn't even know where the brig was. Why would I? Learn to do the right things. And by the way, you say, they don't want me to do that. Do you realize I still can't call Dr. Moritz Fred? He's asked me 50 times, please call me Fred. Now, Kevin Botter, I can call him because we're about the same age. Fred and Dr. Not happening. All right, in your notes. This, first of all, this kind of language gives proper respect. And even if they don't deserve the respect, it still gives proper respect, correct? You say, well, I don't like that person. What's that? You'd be surprising people. If you have somebody that's your boss and you don't like and you're respectful around them, they might actually like you over time. You never know. Next, this gives proper respect primarily to the position, the age, the accomplishment, and not the individual. Sometimes the individual is not that nice, but you respect the position. I think when I joined the Navy, that's the first thing they taught us. It's not important who that person is. It's important their position. So you always respect the position, the age, the accomplishment. Folks, for me to hear someone call Mr. Smith Floyd, now, Mr. Losey could call him Floyd, but the rest of us, I just look at it, I'm thinking, here's a World War II guy, Korea War, Vietnam. Here's a guy that was influential in the development of the M16. He was a gunsmith par excellence. Most of us can't even find our shoes. You know, the old man that walked around here knew some things. Did you know that? He weren't no hillbilly from Oklahoma. He was from Oklahoma. I got news for you, folks. To call that man something other than respect is fundamentally anti-Christian. So you learn to respect the position. Forget whether you like the person. There's lots of people you don't like. So what? Now, I want to say this before I continue. You do realize I shouldn't even have to mention this in a Baptist church. But I hear people's language. We continue. So this gives proper respect, and specifically to the position, age, accomplishments, and not necessarily the individual. This demonstrates gratitude. It's always good to be grateful. Always good. Why don't we turn our Bibles to Colossians 3 real quick, would you? We came across this two Wednesday nights ago, and I just love this text. Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. After talking about how we're to go well layered, all these layers, then he moves from the layering, which is in verse 14, and above all these things put on charity, he kind of moves to the core. He says you ought to let the peace of God rule in the very center of your being, your heart, to which also you are called in one body. And then this beautiful just kind of aside, oh, by the way, and be ye thankful. To me, being thankful is a nice thing. We all appreciate it. Next, this demonstrates politeness. Politeness goes a long way. Next, this acknowledges. Now, here's where the yes, mom, yes, dad kind of thing helps. This acknowledges that you have heard and understood. Why does in the military they required us to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am? Please look at me. This wasn't religion. When you say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, or yes, mom, or yes, dad, that means you have heard and understood what's being said. So the argument's all history. Now, in the military, they'll break you if you're stupid. But if you're a parent that's very emotional or a male that's very passive, you don't have the character to establish that. It will take 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks to establish this in a kid's life. And after it gets established, then, sooner or later, they'll come back and check you out every once in a while and see if you're serious. But if you're serious, and by the way, and they hear you do it, how about that? They hear you say thank you. They see the gratefulness in you. They see the politeness in you. They see you holding a door for an older person. They see you going to the restaurant, and instead of always thinking about, you see that old person over there. And that old person over there, I remember going to places, if I see an old person, I know they were in World War II, I'm always buying their breakfast, lunch, whatever it is. I had the people at McDonald's just about to pass out recently. I came through in the morning to pick up something, and I saw an old World War II veteran barely getting in. I stopped at the, you know, drove my car around, stopped at the cashier, and I said, you see that old guy over there with the hat, World War II hat? And he was of age, and I'm sure he was. I said, I gave her $20. I said, you make sure his breakfast gets taken care of. By the way, people notice that, and they also notice you not being polite, not being grateful. And your Christianity starts to get small. It's about I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with those who do. My dog doesn't smoke, drink, chew, or run with those who do. That's not Christianity. It's foolishness. Foolishness. By the way, God, the great giver of the universe, makes you a giver too. And makes you grateful for everything he's given you and those people who have gone before you. Amen? Next, this preempts debate. The moment you say yes, mom, yes, ma'am, or yes, mom, or yes, dad, the debate is over. Number four, I call this the miracle word. And you, for some of you, this is going to discombobulate you so much, and that'll be okay. What I have learned is fundamentalists are very good at saying no. But by the way, 95% of life is yes. And you want your children to, look at me please, you want your children to look out at life and this is their attitude, yes. We're going to look at verses. Before we do that, in your notes. This is all about learning to say yes to life or in life, the new, the unknown, the different. I believe your children ought to have, you see those phrases there? If I call my daughter, and we had a time off, and I say, Amy, let's go to Chicago. And she said, where to? And I would say, it doesn't make any difference. We're going to Chicago. We're going to find some weird restaurant to eat in. What would be your response, Amy? Where do you think she learned that from? By the way, where do you think your children learn how to be narrow, thing, they learned it from you. Because the first thing, I don't know, I don't want, nope. I think Christians, by the way, I don't think this. This is not my religion, actually. This is called the Bible. Let's just read this little verse. I think you've read this before. For all the promises of God in him are what? Yes. Yay. And in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. My friend, I would like your children, I have these verses, we don't have time. I would love to see your children do this. I would love to see your children know how to say no to themselves, learn how to wait. But by the way, when I say no to themselves, I'm talking about passions, impulses, self-control. Learn to wait. I would love for them to use the missing words, and I would love for every child, when they look out at life, they enjoy life. There's nothing worse than a Christian that enjoys nothing at all. And I'm going to say this, and this is not nice. When I came to this church, there's a group of people, they're the same today, they don't enjoy much. Everything in their life is about that big. By the grace of God, the promises of God in him are yes. This is my Father's world. Yes. The world is the Lord in the fullness thereof. And we ought to look at life as yes. all of the good things. And by the way, most of life is good. When it comes to it, I also know how to say no. Those are words to live by. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We need a whole bunch more time on the yes. Thank you for the folks in this room that are yes, that do enjoy the life you give us. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. May we be people that enjoy your goodness. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.